at the account of Jesus's birth verse by verse here and just share different insights that the Lord has for this. So we're going to start at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. So it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." So there's a couple of things here. Just the fact that Elizabeth, not only was her husband of a priestly line, but Elizabeth was as well, right? Because she was a descendant of Aaron. And the fact that she had had no child, from a Jewish perspective, that means the favor of God wasn't upon her. Like if you were barren, a woman who was barren, then you didn't have children, you were kind of looked at as, well, there must be something wrong in your life that you, because children are a blessing from the Lord. And so if they didn't have children, therefore God's like withholding his blessing. So that's what the Jewish people would have said about her. But I love what God says about her, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And so sometimes like the way the world will evaluate or religious people will evaluate you, right, is so different than the way the Lord evaluates. Because the truth is, it's that she was barren for a reason. There was a purpose, because there was a fullness of time that was going to come when she was going to bear a child that was going to be the foreteller or foremaking, right, of the Savior of the world. And so what other people look at and say, oh, you must be cursed, was actually her blessing, right? So it's just, we don't go by what the world says and we don't go by what religion says, right? We need to stand before the Lord and know his heart towards us. And it's always between just us and the Lord. Whatever other people say, that's fine. But do we stand clear before the Lord? So verse 8, "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." So there's the priesthood, there's different divisions. And what happened is the divisions would serve 1 week twice a year in the temple, and whoever was going to burn incense the priests would cast lots, and you could only do it once in your lifetime. And so for some priests, they never got to burn incense, okay, because they cast lots and they didn't. Now it's so amazing that it was this day, right? So he had never gotten to do it before, but on this day the lot was cast. I think the angel probably had something to do with that, right? But the lot was cast so that he could go into the temple and burn the incense. So verse 10, "The whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him." That's the first response of everybody who sees an angel. It's the first thing they say is, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whoa. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" So many times we're praying to the Lord, and so all these years he's been praying to the Lord for a son. And you think that God's not hearing your prayers. However, God had. And there was a fullness of time that his prayer was going to be answered. And that's just an assurance for us that there's times when we're praying and we don't see a result, but we need to know God hears our prayers. He is not a bad God. He's not withholding, right? He hears our prayers, and we can trust in him. "So he knew that he had wanted a son, and his name shall be called John." Now this John means the Lord or Yahweh has shown favor or grace. And it signifies the purpose of John's birth, for he was to herald the arrival of the Messiah, the gift of God's grace. So that's why it was important for his name to be John. And I'll talk about that a little bit later here. So it says, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great." Now think about this. Think about this. This is a priest and his wife. They're righteous before God. They're blameless. They love the Lord. They're following the ways of the Jewish tradition. They've devoted themselves to this. He serves twice a year in the temple. Their situation with God, their relationship with God is of the highest priority to them, okay? And the angel comes and says that you're going to have a son, And he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, something that never had happened before. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, just think about this. This would be like if an angel showed up to you and said to you, and the Lord is important to us, right? We want to live in the fullness, you know, and so Spencer, this would be a great idea. If an angel shows up and tells him that the child that is in his wife's womb is going to be a great prophet who's going to be the forerunner for the return of Jesus Christ, or is going to be a great evangelist and bring millions to Christ. Think about this. Let's put ourselves in his shoes, where this is really important to him. He's been waiting for the Messiah, believing for the Messiah, and an angel tells him, you're going to have a child that is going to be the forerunner and bringing the Messiah in. Like, wouldn't that impact you, Spencer? Yeah, that would impact, like, it'd be an impact, right? And that would be like, oh wow, like, that's in that moment you're going to remember, right? So this is what's happened in their lives. This is what he's been told. Now, unfortunately, he had some natural wisdom in there. Verse 18, he says, Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. I know that would never be Spencer's reaction, but... what does this show? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? He's been hoping for this for decades, and it's never happened. And so when the angel says that to him, he's like, "Listen, dude, I've been believing for this for years, and nothing's happened. And how is this going to work? Because I've tried the method, and it hasn't worked." Right? And now I'm old. So anyway. Verse 19, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel means, I have a note here. It means mighty man of God. Guess what Gabriel means? The angel answered, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. So he was, this angel who stands in the presence of God was instructed by God. Think about this. God told this angel, go down to that little person that you don't think God even notices you. No, go down to that person right there in that house at that time. Make sure the lot goes so he can go inside here. And you need to talk to him at the altar of incense, and you need to tell him this. This is how involved our God is in our life. This is how involved he is in our life. So, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Now, first of all, isn't it interesting that the angel says that the words are going to be fulfilled in their own time? So even the angel doesn't know when this is going to happen. He was just told to deliver a message, and he did. And he knows that he knew the word had to be spoken for that to happen, right? So he's spoken the word, he's planted the seed, and God's going to fulfill it in his own time. I wonder if God said to him, now, if he says something stupid, tell him we're going to close his mouth. or if the angel just knew enough to say that. I don't know. Did God instruct him ahead of time or what? But why is he doing that? This is how important our words are. Because him keeping his mouth shut is going to make sure that this mission isn't aborted. And so the angel's like, we need to make sure that you don't interfere with this. Because we also know later on in the story that Mary's going to be hanging out with Zacharias. And he needs to keep his mouth closed because God's about to open up, bring in the Messiah, and we can't have anyone messing it up. And sometimes, Lord, make me mute. Right? So we don't abort the plan, right? But he works all things together for good. He's good. So verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. So his wife wasn't even there at that time. Now, can you imagine? He comes home to his wife and he's not speaking. Or, and we'll find out later, he couldn't hear either. So he was unable to speak or hear. So he goes to the temple and he comes home and he can't speak or hear. Verse 24, it says, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. So she did have reproach among the people for the fact that she had been barren. But she, at her age, was kind of like, really, God? Like, this is the time to do this? So for 5 months, she's like kind of concealing that she's pregnant. Again, God's timing, you know, what other people, his ideas of blessings are different than ours. His timing is different than ours. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And we've talked about this before. Christy mentioned this as well. So the fact is that they were already considered married. They had signed the agreement. They had made all those arrangements. But the Jewish custom was that they wouldn't be together for 9 months, right, a minimum of 9 months. And the purpose of that was to ensure that she wasn't pregnant, right? And so they were signed, they were considered married from that perspective. The only way that they wouldn't go forward with this marriage was either through a divorce or death. So that it's cemented. Of course, the final ceremony is later on. But so they were considered betrothed. So the angel goes to her. And of course, Joseph is of the house of David, which is interesting because God said that the Messiah is going to come through David, the house of David, even though he's not the natural father. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I would have been on the floor, but anyway. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. Okay, so God is coming in a human form to be salvation for mankind. That's the meaning of his name, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Remember, these people, they're waiting for the Messiah. Generation after generation after generation, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. And so she's expectant of that as well. And so what this angel is telling her is that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now her question is coming from a completely different place. She's just coming from a pure heart of, how does that happen? I haven't been with a man. Like, okay, I'm not doubting you. That sounds like a great plan, but how is this going to happen? So her heart is in a totally different place than Zacharias's. So the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. This word power is dunamis power. It's the power, it's otherworldly power breaking into our realm. That's what that word power means. And when it says that the Highest will overshadow you, that's the same word used in the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus appeared and the glory of God was there. Okay, so it's the same words that are used there. So overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God. So he's basically telling her that God's going to show up and that's how you're going to become pregnant. Okay, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Again, her barrenness was God's plan. It was his timing. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I know many people, and I've taught this verse too, that the minute she said that, she became pregnant. But when I look at verse 35, I'm not sure that's true. Because it said he said that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, like the glory of the Lord is going to show up. And so I don't know that it was necessarily at the moment she said that. I know at the moment she said that she made it possible. But I don't know that maybe in her sleep or at some later time, the glory of the Lord just filled the room and she became pregnant there. because this is pretty specific about how this was going to happen, right? So, I mean, it's no big deal. We'll find out when we get to heaven. So, but just a thought, food for thought. Verse 39, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a temporary condition for her, but she's got John the Baptist in there who is already filled from the Holy Spirit. And when Mary comes walking in, just the voice of Mary, John the Baptist in the womb, like leaps, and Mary and Elizabeth, as a result of that, gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she knows who Mary's carrying. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. I think this is really beautiful. It just shows God's heart, because I personally think that that what happened is when Mary got pregnant, because the angel told her that Elizabeth was pregnant, that was kind of instructions for her to go to Elizabeth, because she needed a spiritual mother. She needed someone who was going to know what Mary was carrying and nurture her and assure her, because she had some tough times coming. She was going to have to go home and tell her husband she was pregnant, her betrothed husband she was pregnant. She had to tell her parents she was pregnant. She was going to have, the whole city was going to see that she was pregnant before consummation. And I believe that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, led her to go out there, and she spent 3 months with Elizabeth and Zacharias with his mouth closed. And I believe that was a time for her to be raised up and really established in what God was doing in her life, so that she could be strong enough to walk through what she had walked through. And that's just an instruction to all of us, that first of all, to be spiritual parents to people who are carrying big burdens, like that, we're called to do that. We're called to be Elizabeths to one another. We are called to be Marys to, let people be an Elizabeth to us if we're called to be a Mary. Right, that there's, God is so good. He establishes relationships so that we can walk in what he's called us to. He's present with us, but he also brings people alongside us to help us walk in what we're called to. And so we just need to be aware of that so that we can receive it and give it as the Lord leads. Amen? Amen.
Oh, that also tells you that she wasn't pregnant yet.
What do you mean? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I felt like it wasn't that she was, I didn't see it as she wasn't pregnant yet. I just saw it as that she was pregnant and recognize it. But it could be that way as well. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. For he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And so this beautiful thing just erupts out of her. And if you look at this, all these scriptures are referring to Psalms. There's different Psalms that are in here. So this is the importance of planting the word in our hearts. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and he uses all the scripture that she's known, right? And it just starts pouring out of her in a prophetic song. Okay, this is a song of Mary. And it says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Okay, now I believe at this point, I believe when she returned to her house is when she had to tell Joseph she was pregnant. Right. This, at this point, I believe she's telling Joseph that she had to tell Joseph that she was pregnant. And again, she was strengthened. I mean, I had never thought about the fact that maybe she wasn't pregnant when she went to Elizabeth, and maybe the Holy Spirit overshadowed her at Elizabeth's house. That could very well be. I've always assumed that they were just talking about the fulfillment of him being born, but it could also be talking about his conception. But certainly we know Elizabeth was a spiritual mother to her, right? And that's what she was there for. And I believe, like I said, after this time with Elizabeth, she then has to go home and tell her family and Joseph what's going on. Now, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Praise God. They were just happy it wasn't them at that age. Verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias, because that was tradition. But guess what? We're breaking tradition. Praise God, right? His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. So Zacharias had obviously communicated to her the baby was to be named John. But they had said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father, which shows that he was deaf, what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Now, this word name here isn't just like, oh, his name is whatever. It means like, yes, it's a name, but he's the embodiment of John. It is who he is. It's not just his name. It is who he is. And what did we say he was? He was the forerunner of grace. He was bringing the grace of God. So that's who he is John. Let's see here. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. So what happened? So now the mission has been completed. I got John the Baptist into the world. His name needed to be John. He's instructed it. And so the angel's like, okay, I'll loose you now because the mission's been accomplished. You've fulfilled what God told you to do. You're free now. You're free now. Okay, so here, then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. That word hand means the power. The power of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord. So now these first verses here, 68 through 75, is all Zacharias prophesying about Jesus. Okay? So it says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Now Jesus hasn't even come yet, but he's in Mary's womb. But he knows the purpose of Jesus. He knows the purpose of John the Baptist. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. Our enemies, though, are not people. Our enemies are spiritual. And this is what Jesus is going to reveal to them, and this is what Jesus is going to conquer. And from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So he's prophesying the new creation. He is prophesying that there's going to be a new creation and that we as people are going to be able to stand before God righteous and holy and blameless because of what Christ is going to do. Now these next four verses are about John the Baptist. So Zechariah says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, and you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Because that's the true issue, right? The true issue is that man had a sin nature and his sins needed to be forgiven. That's the true issue. It's that we're never wrestling with people. It's always principalities and powers and rulers. That's who we're wrestling with. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. to God. And so he's talking about the ushering in of the kingdom of God. Now, the other thing to remember is Malachi was the last book in the Bible that was really where there was a prophet speaking. I think, as they said, 400 years that they've heard nothing from God. And all of a sudden, this angel comes, right, to Zacharias, and now you have all this unfolding of prophecy, right? Elizabeth prophesies, Mary prophesies, Zacharias' mouth was shut, but then Zacharias prophesies, okay? So we see that there was like a kind of a dead space after Malachi, but now all of a sudden, God's moving and prophetic words are coming forward. Prophetic words are coming forward, ushering in Jesus. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now, I want to go back to Matthew. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. So it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. I just think that's so beautiful. You know, God picks people for certain missions based on their heart, and he could trust Mary with Jesus. But we also look at Joseph, and what a precious man he was. That, I mean, he even when he didn't recognize that what was going on, and he just thought maybe she had gotten pregnant, right, in a natural way, he didn't make it about him. He didn't make it about him. He wanted to protect her. He wanted to make sure she didn't get stoned in the public square. He wanted to do whatever he could to protect her reputation as best as he could to care for her. And that's why he was chosen, right? It wasn't about him. It wasn't about him at all, which is just so beautiful. And it's just for us too. It's like, Lord, there's things you want to entrust to each of us. Lord, keep our hearts before you, pure before you, so that we can handle things in the way that you would want us to handle. You can trust them to us, right? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel. God knows what you're thinking about, right? So God knew he was thinking about putting her away, and he needed to intercept, right? So it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, he was just a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for what is that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what we need saving from, right? That's what we needed saving from, was the sin nature. That's what he's done. So think about this. I believe, right, at this point, I believe what the angel is doing is confirming what Mary has told him. That Mary told him this, and he's thinking there's no way this can be, but the angel has been sent to confirm to him that what Mary told you is actually true. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So it's Jesus, Yahweh is salvation, and then it's Emmanuel, God with us, because God has come in mankind to save us. And that's from Isaiah 7:14. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So even this, you just see the beauty of his heart. Like he was obedient to the angel, but also it wasn't about him. He was going to protect her virginity until she gave birth to Jesus. So it wasn't about his heart and what he wanted. Someone had said, I was reading something, which Randy and I heard this at a conference, how Joseph is, maybe Joseph is the New Testament example of women coming into ministry, because he took the back seat and let her take the front seat. And that maybe he was the first example of that in the New Testament. Chapter 2 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, isn't this amazing that God can use an ungodly king and a census to get his people where they need to be? I mean, what can the world do? If we're following the Lord, he will get us where we need to be at the right time. And the world do all that it wants to do, but he will make sure we get to where we're supposed to be at the right time. Amen. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is, again, this scripture being fulfilled, scripture being fulfilled, scripture being fulfilled. Now, verse 8, now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord, the angels were very busy during this time, stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, okay, a deliverer. He's a Savior who is Christ. That word Christ means Messiah. He's a deliverer. He's a Messiah. Okay, this is what they've been waiting for. Let's see here. Savior, who is Christ? The Lord, supreme in authority. Isn't that amazing? And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Okay? I love this. I love this. I love that Jesus is revealed to Zacharias, Elizabeth, right? He's revealed to Joseph and Mary, a carpenter and a peasant girl, and he's revealed to shepherds and with sheep. That's who God reveals them to. Now watch this, verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now this is very interesting. One of the scriptures that's also fulfilled during this time comes from Micah 4:8, and it says, "Oh, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughters of Jerusalem." And I don't have that scripture in there, I don't think. But anyway, but what it's talking about, tower of the flock, is the tower, it's a watchtower. And it was at a place called Migdol Eder. And these watchtowers were agricultural forts where the shepherds would watch over their flock from the second story and where they birthed the newborn lambs in the lower portion of the towers in the fields of Bethlehem. The Migdol offers its inhabitants a place of refuge, splendor, and vantage. This area below Bethlehem was known as the shepherd's place or the place of the sheepfold. So who ran this was Levitical shepherds. The shepherds would wrap the newborn lambs in swaddling cloths to keep the new lambs without spot or blemish. They would be laid in a manger until they calmed down. Levitical shepherds who followed strict rules and ensured that the lambs were right for the sacrifice. So these shepherds were in charge of the sheep to make sure that they were without spot and watched over them. And these were the lambs and sheep that were to be sacrificed in the temple. So what so it says the lambs had to be within 5 miles of the temple. It is proposed that since Mary and Joseph could not find any room at the inn, they actually used one of the stalls at Migdol Eder. This is why when the angel came to tell the shepherds that the Messiah was born and was lying in a manger, they knew what they were talking about and headed to Migdol Eder. Now, wouldn't that just be like our God to have the actual lamb that was supposed to be sacrificed lays in a manger at Migdol Eder with all the other sheep that were sacrifices? Isn't that amazing? That's just like our God. That's just like our God. So verse 21 says, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So on the eighth day is when a child was named. Okay, that's like John. On the eighth day, he was named John. On the eighth day is when, of course, an eight stands for new beginnings, the new creation. So on the eighth day, Jesus was named. So at verse 22, it says, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now this, so what it was is after a woman gave birth, for 40 days she was considered unclean, just because of all the after birth stuff. And so, but after the 40 days, they would take the firstborn son, we'll see this, and they would go to the temple and they would dedicate the child to the Lord. Because it was written in the law, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So any firstborn male, right, the first one to come through the birth canal, it was considered holy to the Lord and needed to be dedicated to the Lord. And so Jesus was the firstborn male. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They actually required a lamb or a sheep was supposed to be offered. But if you didn't have enough money, then you could do the pigeons or the turtle doves. And so we can see that they weren't really wealthy. The three wise men hadn't showed up, much to the way things are portrayed. The wise men didn't show up until he was a toddler, okay? He was like 2 years old when the wise men showed up. So they gave doves. Now, I also wonder if that wasn't because they didn't give a lamb because he was the lamb. I mean, I don't know that, but just a thought. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This is beautiful. So this man was so devoted to the Lord, and so he's an Old Testament believer, he's not born again, but he was so close to the Lord and so close to the Spirit of God that God had revealed to him that he was going to see the Christ. He was going to see the Messiah before he died. And it's believed it was probably about 60 years that he was believing for this. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is why we need to know how to follow the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. May that be true of all of us. That when we come to the end of our lives, that we know we can be in peace, that we've done everything that God called us to do. Right? According to your word, for my eyes, his natural eyes are now seeing what his spiritual eyes had already seen. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. So he knows that this Messiah is not just for Jews. He is the Messiah of the world. He knows that by the Spirit. He knows this is the Messiah of the world because it's for Gentiles and Jews. Excuse me, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. He's telling her that about, I mean, she doesn't know, I don't believe that it's the crucifixion, but that's what he's referring to. Like, this isn't going to be easy. This isn't going to be easy. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's what happened when Jesus went on the cross. Hearts were revealed. Hearts were revealed when Jesus went on the cross. Now there was one Anna, which Anna means grace and favor, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, which means face of God, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. You figure she probably got married around 16-ish, so she probably lived with her husband until, what, that'd be 23. And this woman was a widow, so her husband passed away, of about 84 years. She's 84 years old, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This is that for 61 years, this woman served God in the temple with fastings and prayer. Everything you do that God commands you to do is useful, is valuable to the Lord. You know, and everyone, you know, thinks about this. Let me tell you what that woman did by devoting her life to the Lord for 61 years in a temple, fasting and praying. How do we not know that that is what was essential to happen for Christ to come in when he did? People, you know, there's people who spend time in a prayer closet. They may spend their whole life in a prayer closet. And what they're doing is so important. There is no inconsequential assignment when it comes to God. And there may be more that are more out in front of people, but there's a lot that are behind the scenes. And we're also going to get to heaven, and we're going to be really surprised as to who's up front. Really, you know, there's it's so crucial that you just do whatever God's told you to do. It is so crucial because it is part of the plan of salvation, and it's never, ever insignificant to him, ever, ever. The other thing I would say is let's just look at this generationally. Okay, Mary and Joseph are young, but we have Zacharias and Elizabeth who are old. We have Simeon and we have Anna, the prophetess, all these people are elderly. So there's no even, you can't even say I'm too old to serve the Lord. He uses every generation to bring things to pass. We never become non-essential to God. We never become too old for his plans. Because there's a lot of elderly people who brought this plan into being. So don't say, he doesn't have anything left for me because I'm over 65. The world may not have anything for you, but God definitely has something for you. Amen? Amen. Amen? Of course, I say that because of this, but whatever. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So the minute he came in, she recognized who he was, and she started speaking what he was to encourage and exhort people. Now, look what God has done. He sent Elizabeth to be a spiritual mother to Mary during her time with carrying Jesus. And now he has sent a prophet and prophetess to her, right, to give her encouraging words, but also let her know what's happening. God is so good. He is so good. If we're following him, he will bring to us what we need to hear to lead us and what he has. And he knew what Mary and Joseph were going to have to face. And so at 8 days and at 40 days, he sent people to confirm to them, yes, you're not crazy. Yes, it wasn't bad pizza that gave you the angel, right? You know, God has spoken to you. God has plans. Stay the course. It's going to get difficult. Your heart's going to get pierced. People's true hearts are going to be revealed. But stay the course. There's a purpose here. There's a plan here. And that's true for every single one of us. You stay the course. You don't get offended. You don't get stumbled. You don't let people take you off the path. You stay the course. You stay the course. You stay the course because God is faithful. God is faithful. Verse 39, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to be with them, this is what happens when we assume, supposing him to be with them in company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking. Okay, so it's bad to lose your child, period. But to lose God is really bad. Because just remember, God knows where he is. God knew he wasn't with them for all that day. And like, what do you do? Like, oh, oops, I've lost the Savior of the world. And God knows that? Like, I can't be like, oops, they didn't know he was missing for a day, and then all of a sudden he is. Like, this is a challenge. This is a challenge. Like, anyway, so verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, just as a parent, can you imagine 3 days without your child? And it's God? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. This is the word of God sitting in the temple, submitting himself to the teachers, asking questions, and hearing their answers. What a lesson in humility for all of us. He humbled himself to the teachers, right? And listened to what they have to say. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This word understanding means the ability to put two and two together. So in other words, they were saying things and he was like connecting dots. Like he was getting it. Everything that they said, he was just like a sponge, taking it in. So they were really amazed at his ability to connect things together and the answers he would give them when they talked about things. So when they saw him, they were amazed. This is his parents. And his mother said to him, notice they didn't beat him. That probably was wisdom. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I think part of what he's saying at least is, why were you looking everywhere else but the temple? Where else do you think I would be? Like, why were you looking in the shops? Why did you look at the subway? Like, I wasn't in the subway. Why would it be in the subway? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, why are you going to all these different places looking for me? Where else would I be but in my father's house, right? I'm without my father's business. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, if Jesus needed to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, how much more do we need to increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, right? He was humble. He submitted himself to the teachers of that day. He submitted himself to his parents, you know, until the fullness of time came for him to be revealed to Israel. He was humble. He was a carpenter. He's probably helping his dad out in the carpenter shop if you've watched Chosen, right? He was just humble. He was waiting until his time had come. And that's what all of us need to do. We need to wait till for God's timing on things. And again, not be discouraged like Elizabeth and Zacharias and wonder, what's God doing? He's faithful. Now, I just want to look, as we close here, I just want to look at a few more scriptures, because I just want us to think about this. Again, we're going into the Christmas season, and just to get our hearts set on all that God did, just think of all that had to be orchestrated and all the people, just gratitude to the fact that Joseph and Mary had a pure heart and God could entrust Jesus to them. Grateful to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they endured that, you know, shame for all those years, and yet they were faithful when God entrusted them with John the Baptist to raise him in what he was called to be. There's so many people who played parts in what we walk in today. Even the fact that we have Bibles, right? There are people who were devoted to the Lord, who really wanted to live and bring forth his plan of salvation. And we are the beneficiaries of all that. And all of this was a plan that God had through a simple act of a baby. So let's just look at a couple of scriptures. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He entrusted his child to mankind that were ruled by demons. He entrusted his child to fallen man. That's amazing. Things could have gone wrong. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, all you have to do is believe, should not perish, should not be destroyed, not eternally separated from God, but have everlasting life, the Zoe life of God. He came with the Zoe life of God. He died on the cross so that he could give Zoe life to us. Just to bring us back into relationship with him, to give us what we were created to carry, which is Zoe life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved, we should not condemn the world. Amen. But we should introduce him to the Savior.
That's right.
Because people, fallen people are just going to do what fallen people do.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. This is God.
Yeah.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. Just want to go to, I have two more sections here I want to read in Hebrews, and then Hebrews 2 first, starting in chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For this is Jesus. It was fitting for him, it was fitting for Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, the one who created everything, in bringing many sons to glory, because you were created for glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He came to suffer. He came to suffer. For both he who sanctifies, which is Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, or us, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He came for his brethren. Remember, I've said to you, why did he wash the disciples' feet? Because he knew who they were. They were his brothers. I mean, they had to get born again, but he knew who they were, and he was willing to wash their feet because he knew who they were. They didn't know who they were. They just thought they were a fisherman and a tax collector, but he knew who they were. Saying, I will, this is Jesus, this is a psalm, but Jesus declares this. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children, wow, this is so amazing. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. We messed up and ended up flesh and blood. We were meant to carry the glory of God. We ended up being flesh and blood. So he came in flesh and blood because we messed up. He was willing to come and do this. This is our God. This is our God. Flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why? Because he's destroyed death for us. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham by faith. Therefore, watch this. In all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In other words, God so wanted to redeem us, but he first had to know what it was like to be us. And so he came to experience, so he came to see what he was redeeming us from, to experience what he was redeeming us from. He came in human form to experience what it was like to be human, what it was like to live in a fallen world, what it was like to have trials and tribulations and all that stuff. He came to experience that so that he could be deliver us and be a faithful high priest, to know what he was delivering us from. That's our God. That is our God. That's who we have the privilege of representing. Amen. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. I'm just going to end with this. And whenever I read these scriptures, I always feel like crying. This is Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll end with this. Let's watch this. For Hebrews 10:5. Therefore, when he came into the world, when Jesus came into the world, this is quoting a psalm. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. God didn't want a bunch of sheep and lambs and goats and bulls and all that and a bunch of grains. He never wanted all that. It's just what he did as a stopgap. But a body you have prepared for me. Because the real sacrifice had to be a God in a physical form. And so he prepared a body that could, Jesus was given a body that could be sacrificed. Wow. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure, because those things could never change us. We needed changed. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. That's what we're celebrating, is the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first. He takes away the first covenant, the commandments that were sacrifices of lambs and goats and grain offerings, and all that. He takes away the first, right? That he may establish the second, which is Jesus Christ, is the sacrifice, and he's the one who makes us righteous and holy and cleanses us of all sins by his sacrifice. Praise the Lord. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 This is our God. This is what we're celebrating, that he came into a body, right? Just so he could experience what it was like to be us, and then go to the cross to take all our sin, all our guilt, all our shame, all of that, because that's the kind of God that he is. Amen. Amen. And I just want to say, if there's anybody here or anybody watching this live stream who has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all you need to do is call on him. You just call on him. You just confess, God, I'm a sinner. Just repeat after me, God, I am a sinner. I thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. I thank you that he went to the cross to pay for my sins. I accept his sacrifice, and I take him into my heart, and I come to you, God, as in humility, and receive your grace, and therefore I become a child of God. Amen. 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 Let me just pray for you. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, so much that you came. You didn't have to come, but you came. And we are so grateful for the sacrifice you made for all of us, that we could come into relationship with the Father and be restored to being children of God, which is what you've always wanted us to be. And may we remember throughout the season, Lord, to glorify you, for you alone are worthy. Amen.